News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us on this Thursday morning. Joining us now by phone from Boston, don't hold it against him, is... No, we like everybody everywhere. But Henry Grabar, that is how you say it, like Babar the elephant. Henry Grabar, he is going to be our Civicon speaker on Monday, 6 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church on Wright Street. And he is coming to town to talk about parking and downtowns and how they do and do not work together and some of the issues that we're facing with the handling of cars, essentially. So, again, that's Civicon on Monday. Henry, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Great. Did I get your name right, first of all? I want to make sure.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
That's right.
Excellent. Great. Okay, so I read the article that Kevin Robinson put out. He always does a great job for the PNJ reporting on Civicon speakers. And as I understand it, the gist of what you're getting at is we invest an awful lot of real estate in taking care of cars with parking spaces that, for the most part, sit empty all the time waiting to be used. And this has all kinds of trade-off consequences in terms of, I mean, stormwater, land available for building, foregone alternatives, opportunity cost, and the like. Am I tracking your concept?
That's the argument that I make in my book, which is basically that we have decided as a society that the pursuit of a free and easy parking space is absolutely the number one priority of the way we design our cities. And everything else comes downstream of that. And we've begun to see some of the unfortunate consequences of that. Actually, there's an interesting example from near Pensacola, because as you may know, the Florida Gulf Coast is home to several experiments in new urbanism, where these architects started to think, what if we redesign cities in a new way? And I talked to some of them about that, and they said, parking is power. The decisions you make about how to provide parking and where to provide parking determine the way everything looks after that. The design of the buildings, the architecture, the housing, and the quality of the neighborhoods.
So, I understand a lot of the modern design of communities is to try to keep everybody from having to, for example, drive and park. Because, you know, we always think about the roads issue, right, of, you know, transiting the roads and your traffic, and you complain about the traffic, but you're the problem, especially the single-person car, even the two-person car, these are the problems. But people don't often think about the parking slice of that creating a place to leave the car when you're walking around doing the shopping. If you just don't have to take a car, then you don't have to provide for those problems, or you don't have to solve those problems. You can use that land in other ways. It's more effective, more aesthetic, everything else, right?
Well, one way of thinking about it is that you're going to do a traffic report every morning, right? You're going to tell everybody about the traffic. But here's the thing.
Literally in 3 minutes. That's right. Yes.
Okay. A car spends 95% of its time parked. So I think that you should devote at least, if not 95% of your traffic report, but at least some portion of it to talking about parking. And this is important, because this is what illustrates the enormous effect that these decisions we make about parking have on the way our cities look and feel and function. Obviously, everybody just wants a free and easy place to park. But the argument that I make is that if that is your number one priority, and that will eventually make it very difficult to achieve all the other things that people say they want from their neighborhoods, which is to say they want to be able to walk and buy a gallon of milk. They want to be able to sit under a shade tree on a sidewalk. And there's all these kind of things that we want from our cities that we can't have because we've made this decision that we have to provide such an enormous amount of parking with every single land use.
So what's the alternative? Because I think the first thing that people hear when they hear this sort of criticism is, okay, I get that. I look at Cordova Mall and I see giant amount of room that it's wasted all the time because it sits there with asphalt on it and it could have been devoted to anything else. It could have been a restaurant. It could have been an apartment complex, for goodness sakes. It could have been a school. But instead, it's just, you know, empty parking spaces that are only full at Black Friday or on some particularly busy holiday and probably not even then. I get that, but don't people need to be able to park their cars somewhere? What's the alternative? It first blush, it sounds like the criticism of, well, these stupid Americans and their stupid cars, we need to engage in public transit and more bicycling. But is that what you're talking about? What are you talking about in terms of solution?
That is definitely not my argument. I'm very much, I want to be very clear about that. This is not an anti-car book. I mean, I'm conscious that, you know, Americans, we need our cars to get to the places we need to go, right? To go to a birthday party, go to church, et cetera. But I think the point is that it's actually about relatively small changes in how we store our vehicles that can permit us to unlock these very beneficial changes in the places we love, right? You know, obviously, nobody ever wants there to be a parking shortage where you drive to a place and you can't park and you have to drive around. But I think in a lot of cities, there's some really low-hanging fruit in terms of thinking about design, in terms of thinking about pricing, organization of parking, in terms of where the long-term parkers versus the short-term parkers sit. And I know this sounds like the most boring urban planning class you ever took in your life, thinking about which is 1 hour, which is 2 hour parking. But the results that come downstream of that, it's like the video about the wolves they put back in Yellowstone and all the incredible ecosystem effects that came as a result. And that's what it is for parking too. You make tiny changes in, you know, charging 50 cents an hour at the meter, and you watch the street, this interface between traffic and land use, begin to organize itself in a way that's beneficial to everybody.
We're talking to Eric Gilmore was on a minute ago, and apparently I can't remember anybody's name this morning. Henry Grabar is a CivicCon speaker, going to be speaking Monday at the First United Methodist Church at 6 o'clock. We'll come back to you in just a second, Henry. In the meantime, we've got traffic on the fives with John Pickens, focused 95% on parking.
That's right. Yes. And nothing is a parking lot right now. So everything is flowing smoothly on I-10, I-110. No accidents to report to you. Or delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Henry Grabar. Henry, in the article that Kevin wrote for the PNJ about what you're talking about, you are quoted as kind of giving the idea that when the thing you're enjoying, the civic space, is of a high enough value or appealing enough, then people stop complaining about the fact that you had to walk a little ways to get there. And you use the example of Disneyland. You also kind of use the example of the beach, which is, you know, when you go to visit Disney, you park a long way away, and then you walk. And then you walk around at Disney. You don't need your car. It's all fine. And you sort of put up with that parking suck because the thing itself is so worth having. And when I think of that, I think of the, okay, but once in a while at Disney is not every day at downtown Pensacola. But what do you mean with that analogy?
Well, I'm not saying that downtown Pensacola is ever going to be, provide the kind of 8-hour experience of Disney World. But I think the lesson here is that we have this idea in our head that the parking needs to be provided as close to the place we're going as possible. It needs to be free and needs to be available the moment I arrive. And if those three characteristics aren't met, then the parking is no good. The town has a parking problem, and it's time for me to take my business elsewhere. And I think that assumption is very dangerous, and it's also untrue, because we have so many examples of places where the quality of the environment, the quality of the attraction is good enough that people are willing to park from a little further distance away. You don't need to go to Disney. You can look at the mall, right? People park at the mall, and they think the mall is the quintessential example of free parking that's better than what they can get in the city. But when you park at the mall, you end up walking quite a bit to get into the store. They don't let you park right in front of the store inside the mall. And so I think that cities could take this lesson to heart and say, we don't need to have parking available in front of every single destination. We should focus on building a density of attractive, exciting things that are actually going to make people want to come here, and potentially even to the point where people will be willing to pay to park their cars to experience what we have to offer here. It's ultimately about a sense of, I think, self-confidence in what the urban environment is offering. It's to say, you know what, what we have here is good enough that it can't be found out by the side of the highway where there's free parking in a strip mall.
You know, you also talk about, and if I think obviously in an urban environment this question comes up, building codes or land use or whatever the appropriate term that you want to use is, often has requirements of so many parking spaces per shop or square footage or whatever. And you make the argument that, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, that essentially this is a capitalism decision and businesses can decide for themselves whether it's worth their money to make for parking to be available or not. And if there's not enough, well, you know, their investment's going to sink. And if they're required to build more than they need, then you're wasting money and you're wasting space at the same time. Correct me where I've got it wrong, but help me understand what a better look would be for solving this.
That's exactly right. It's an example of enormous government overreach where these local codes will tell you exactly how much parking you need to provide if you want to open a small business or build an apartment building or something like that. And the results are, again, this vast superabundance of parking, far more than is necessary. And I think we let people make those decisions themselves, we'll end up with an environment that is both fuller with more activities, more, more things that are generating tax revenue to pay for public services and so forth, but also just a nicer place to be because nobody actually likes to walk across a giant parking lot. My sense from, visiting dozens of cities and talking about this issue is there is almost never an actual parking shortage. No matter how many times people will say there's a parking shortage here, it's almost never the case that there's actually nowhere to park. It's just that the organization of the parking is so poor that everyone's trying to park in the same place and they're not aware or they can't find that there might be available parking two or even three blocks away. And that is as true in downtown Chicago as it is in small towns. And that's why I say, if the perception of a parking shortage is what's motivating people to say, we need to tear down this building, build more parking. We need to spend our tax dollars building another public garage. I think it's time to look a little harder at exactly where and how people are parking and ask if there isn't a more sensible and low-cost way to address that problem.
And I don't think I'm saying anything that you wouldn't say, but it's not necessarily even a shortage of the parking or of infrastructure. It's a clash between what people perceive as being available and their expectations of how close or readily or at what price they're able to park in proximity to the places they want to go to. And so a sort of a upsetting or a violation of those expectations is what leads people to be angry about parking. Am I wrong?
I think that's right. And, you don't have parking in your Google Maps. They'll say parking is easy or difficult, but they won't tell you where to park, right? And I think this is part of the issue is that we've left this this very important piece of the driving experience kind of out of the way we think about how people are going to get around. One of the results is that we've ended up with these cities that again have so much parking, and it is a vicious cycle where the more parking you have, the less likely you are to want to go on a long walk from your car. Because if you're walking past a bunch of parking lots, that's not going to be such a pleasant experience. Whereas if you park, for example, in Seaside, Florida, or in New Orleans or something like that, maybe you would be willing to walk 8 or 10 blocks. That might even be the best part of your day, is walking through that urban environment, seeing people, seeing the sights, stopping into a little shop and so on. And that's really what makes cities great, right? And if you begin to expect that the parking occurs directly in front of each destination, you remove the ability of people to go around on foot, right? Which is what makes a city a city, and also what makes humans humans, right? Like ultimately, we were born with 2 feet, not with our hands on a steering wheel.
Yeah. So if the walk, the foot commute, becomes its own valued experience, then you don't mind it so much. I think of downtown St. Louis that walking back from the stadium over to where I typically park for a baseball game, where there's a long mm-hmm. public park that's got art pieces and fountains and trees. And, it used to just be nothing, and they've put a massive investment into that. And, what I think every time I'm walking through there is, oh, this is nice, because I'm not thinking about the walk. I'm just taking a stroll through a cool place to go. Hey, last thing, and I know you're going to talk about a lot of this stuff on Monday. Again, we're talking to Henry Grabar. He is the CivicCon speaker for Monday, 6 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church on Wright Street. One of the classic problems that happens, or the concern, I guess, when you stop overreaching, as you say, when you stop regulating the providing of parking spaces, is the entity that was having to provide them is just going to externalize them to somebody else, and maybe the somebody else doesn't even do their job. We have a great illustration of this here in town. At UWF, our local mm-hmm. university, we have a set of apartment buildings where they did not make enough parking. They actually changed mm-hmm. the building code because of this problem. But the result is that when people, mm-hmm. the students park at these, these apartments, what they actually do is they just go park down the street, on the side lot, on private property, anywhere they can, because they're going to park somewhere. They got to park somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it creates mm-hmm. a problem. So when I hear you say we're going to get rid of the requirement to provide parking spaces, I'm very sympathetic. But I also worry, won't they just externalize that problem to somebody else and it winds up creating its own problems?
Right. And this is where I think the land use issue, the building code issue, is closely related to the issue of how we decide about what to do with our streets, right? We've made a decision as a society that basically every street is going to have two lanes for the private for the public storage of private property on every public right-of-way, and that's just going to be the expectation of how things work. And I think there are cities now that are asking, does it make sense that we've given away so much of our valuable real estate to this class of citizen who can store their car there for free? And I think, obviously, when you begin to change to some extent, these codes that we're talking about are a result of this chaos on the street, right, as you were saying. And so if you're going to begin to allow builders the freedom to decide how much parking they're going to provide, I think you also need to say it's time for us to regulate the storage of vehicles on the street and decide maybe you need a parking permit to park here. Maybe there's no overnight parking here. Maybe it's 50 cents an hour during the day, you know, a very low fee, but enough to keep people from parking there all day, every day. And those are the kinds of systems I think you need to put in place. And that seems like, you know, complicated and difficult. But ultimately, the benefit of that is that you unlock all of this, you know, old style urbanism, basically the stuff that, like, places your grandparents grew up in, which we made illegal in the 1950s and 60s so that we could provide enough parking at every location. And I think in places that have gotten rid of this, you're beginning to see some of those old style developments come back. The kind of stuff that everybody really loves about cities.
Very interesting stuff. I'm looking forward to the conversation on Monday. Again, Henry Grabari is going to be CivicCon speaker on Monday at 6 o'clock. Henry, thanks for coming to town. Thanks for helping us think a little bit more in a different way about how we solve some of these problems and make the end result of having a place that we all want to live in. So I appreciate the contribution. And thanks for the time this morning. Interesting conversation.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You bet. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you. We're still rolling accident-free right now. But if you are on, let's see here, Davis Highway coming southbound to Olive Road, expect about a 12-minute delay. And also Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, expect a 15-minute delay. And Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10, a 7-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
How's your relationship with your car? Since we've been talking about that, do you love your car? Are you happy with your car? Or do you know that that relationship is getting towards the end of its lifespan and you don't want to admit it, but secretly you've been eyeing other cars? You know, it's time to move on. Hey, I understand. And part of the reason you put off replacing your car is because it's a pain in the butt to go buy a car. I get it. Nobody likes that process. But at Frontier Motors, they're trying to make it as least bad, as not unpleasant as it can be, okay? They may not be able to make you like it. I mean, we actually liked our experience, but they can make you not dislike it too badly. And that's the way they think about everything from how the cars are available to you to how they talk to you to how they price things to the information they give you, just all of it. Go check it out and prove me wrong. You'll find out. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Go get a car you like.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
At different times in our lives, we all have problems. Health problems, financial problems, relationship problems. But at no point are any of these problems our biggest problem. The biggest problem facing mankind is the sin problem. When Jesus came to the earth, he didn't solve everyone's health troubles, although he did help a few. He didn't solve everyone's financial trouble, although he did provide food for some. He didn't solve everyone's relationship problems, although a few were helped in that way. But when Jesus came to the earth, he did solve the problem of sin for everyone. He died a substitutionary death in your place and in mine. All we have to do is call upon him for salvation. Jesus is the greatest problem solver in human history.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimptastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
Headquarters, we are still in pursuit of the black Lamborghini.
Car 42, you've been in pursuit for two.
But in fairness, it wasn't Dillinger in the black Lamborghini. 729 on News Radio 92.3. You know what I mean. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. NASA is testing its giant lunar rocket today at the Kennedy Space Center. If all goes well, four astronauts could launch for a trip around the moon as early as early March. And a military buildup underway in the Middle East right now. Preparation for possible strikes on Iran. NBC reporting that warships, air defenses, and submarines are all part of that buildup.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Coming up next, Pensacola Police Department. Mike Wood is going to be here. We're going to talk about the incident that took place yesterday at the condos, the shooting, among other things. So stick around. We'll be right back in just a minute.
News. I'm CJ Papa. Britain's King Charles, responding to the arrest of his brother Andrew, says authorities have the royal family's full and wholehearted support and cooperation.
Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor, of course, is King Charles' younger brother. He has been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office over allegations he sent confidential government documents to Jeffrey Epstein. An arrest also means police can now search his home and possessions.
Fox's Stephanie Bennett in London. World leaders and representatives from over 40 nations converging on our nation's capital.
President Trump will preside over his first ever Board of Peace meeting today in Washington, focused on the future of Gaza. One of the major questions hanging over the meeting is the disarmament of Hamas and who will provide peacekeeping forces.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. Day 19, disappearance of Nancy Guthrie. Investigators turning to genetic genealogy to try and find a suspect. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3, and we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 70 degrees right now, and we'll get our full forecast with Brooke Richardson. That is up here in just a few minutes. Escambia County Commissioners, today we'll be talking about beach access and customary use. They'll be taking public comment on customary use, and that meeting starts at 9:45 this morning. We'll be following that. Here later today, a stray bullet reportedly went through a bedroom window in Cottage Hill over the weekend. Escambia County deputies responded to reports of a drive-by shooting on Handy Road on Saturday, but they determined it actually wasn't an intentional shooting. While investigating, deputies heard more gunfire. They found two people target practicing in a wooded area about a half mile away. The sheriff's office says one of those rounds apparently missed their backstop. Nobody was hurt in that incident. Well, after more than 40 years now on the federal Superfund list, cleanup of the American Creosote Works site in Pensacola's Sanders Beach neighborhood could finally begin over the summer. The EPA says it expects to start removing contaminated soil from nearby homes as early as June or possibly July. The federal government allocated $40 million for the project. City officials say it's about $8.6 million short. Well, Pensacola police shot and killed a man who they say fired shots inside of a Garden Street apartment complex on Wednesday.
We received a 911 call that shots were being fired inside Carlton Palms, which is a residential complex. We were given a description of a white male and what he was wearing, that he had a weapon that was firing that weapon inside the building. Upon the arrival of officers, he stepped outside the front door. He had the weapon in his hand. He refused orders to drop that weapon, and officers fired on him.
And that is PPD's Mike Wood. He says no residents were hurt. When officers arrived, they found that suspect in the parking lot with a gun. Police say he ignored commands to drop the weapon. FDLE is handling the investigation. Mike Wood will be on the program here very shortly to discuss that more. A 30-year-old Mobile man was killed in a motorcycle crash last night in Escambia County. FHP says he lost control of his Harley on North W Street near Beverly Parkway. He was thrown from the bike and died at the scene. No other vehicles were involved. That crash does remain under investigation. Well, PPD's also made an arrest in that double fatal crash on Scenic Highway last month. 60-year-old Wayne Dines is facing two counts of DUI manslaughter and DUI crash involving serious bodily injury. Investigators say Dines was driving a blue Jeep January 30th when he crossed the center line near Rothschild Drive and hit another vehicle. One victim died on the scene. The second died days later at a local hospital. Dines was arrested in Spring Hill and is being extradited back to face charges in Escambia County. And the state a little bit closer now to imposing some regulations around artificial intelligence. A Senate committee yesterday unanimously passed the Artificial Intelligence Bill of Rights. It requires companies to disclose when a customer is interacting with AI instead of a real person. SB 482 also tries to protect personal data, and it gives parents the right to opt out of having their kids taught by AI. 735. John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Just one accident on the books right now. 9 Mile Road and Pine Forest Road. That's off to the side, but it's just causing some minor delays. Also, let's see here. I-10 eastbound right around the Pine Forest exit going east toward Highway 29, experiencing a 10-minute delay. And Highway 29 southbound approaching 9 Mile Road, a 12-minute delay. And also Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, seeing about an 18-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be seeing temperatures warming up as we head into your afternoon near 76 degrees. 20% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64 degrees. For Friday, 70% chance of some showers, high near 77. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 66 degrees. Going into Saturday, 60% chance of rain, high near 77 degrees. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 53. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And now we've got 69 degrees with mostly cloudy skies. Our next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. United Airlines said it is making some of the biggest changes to its mileage plus frequent flyer program in more than a decade. Travelers with the airline's credit card will earn more miles and get higher discounts compared to those without the card. Customers who do not have one of the cards or elite status won't earn miles if they book in basic economy. Shares of Cadence Design Systems climbed after the chip design software firm reported results that beat analysts' expectations for the fourth quarter. Company officials say they expect the trend of companies making their own custom chips to accelerate. Nestle shares rose 3% after the maker of Kit Kat reported organic sales growth for the fourth quarter that beat analysts' forecasts. The company also announced it is planning to sell its remaining ice cream business to Häagen-Dazs owner Froneri. Futures are slightly lower. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 129. The NASDAQ up 175. The S&P 500 up 38. That's your money now.
You're still grooving, still connecting, still loving, still turning up, still thriving. You still got it, but your immune system, it weakens as you age. That's where vaccines come in. They help train and strengthen your immune response to fight off respiratory illnesses like flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, or COVID-19. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Book in minutes at vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 for the Pensacola Expert Panel with me, Eldon Scott, your host, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing barbecue prizes, and hear how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. We're spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Make sure to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You don't have to keep jumping around the dial all day.
Start your morning with Pensacola Morning News, weekdays 5 to 9. Stick around for Pep Talk with Meg from 9 to 11. Then it's MVR from 11 till 2. Hughes Hewitt from 2 to 4. And Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin from 4 to 7. One station. One day. Everything you need to know. News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Bad boy.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He always joins us at this time on a Thursday. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So let's start with yesterday. Obviously, a major incident that we were all paying attention to at the condos, at the Carlton Palms, at Garden, just as you get down into town. What happened? You were on the scene, I know, but what happened?
We received a 911 call that there was an individual inside Carlton Palms, which everyone knows is a condo, is a residential building, firing multiple shots inside. Officers responded. The three initial officers that arrived on the scene were aware of a description of what he looked like, and by the time they got there, he was out on the parking lot. He faced one came in from the west. He faced that officer, and two more came in from the east. He was standing there. He was not trying to take any cover, waiting on the officer to get out of his car, and he was ordered multiple times by these three officers to put the weapon down. He heard the officers behind him. He turned around and looked at them, and in just a couple of seconds after that, he raised the weapon toward the officers, and they were forced to fire.
Wow. Okay. Well, of course, he later on died on either at the hospital or on the way to the hospital, not at the scene. But so he was ordered to drop his weapon multiple times, refused, did not do so, did not comply, stood in the open, didn't take cover, and raised his gun at the officers, which is when they fired.
Yeah, that's right. And before that, while he was inside the building, he did put his gun in the face of a person. I don't know if it was an employee or a tenant. But he did put the gun in the face of this person, pulled the trigger, and the gun did not function.
Oh, my God. So somebody's life was saved by the fact that the gun malfunctioned.
Absolutely.
Wow. Well, thank God nobody else, you know, nobody was actually harmed. I mean, traumatized, certainly, but nobody was actually shot inside the building. Wow. Okay. Do we at this point know anything about, you know, I mean, officers who are involved in the shooting, they're all on desk duty for temporarily because that's what always happens, right?
Yeah, they're on paid administrative leave, which is standard. FDLE is in charge of the investigation. But, you know, and Andrew, people say that this is what the cops signed up for. This is not what we signed up for. These officers have to live with this the rest of their life. It was not it's not easy to do. And we all wish it didn't happen. We don't know what was going through this individual's mind, what was going on in his life, and I'm sure that all that will be brought out later in the investigation. But it's a terrible thing all around. We are just fortunate, and we thank God that nobody was injured in this, because with bullets flying outside, that's a heavily populated area with traffic, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of people inside. And our officers, they went and searched the building to make sure there were no victims inside, and fortunately nobody else was hurt.
The interviews that I had seen on Channel 3 indicated that people did hear multiple gunshots. So when we say the gun malfunctioned facing this person, I'm guessing that was after the gun had fired properly before, or do we know which one happened first?
Yeah, we believe the shots were fired first.
Okay, so the shots were fired. So, I mean, we know the gun worked. Thank God nobody got hurt, but then all of a sudden at just the right time, a miracle malfunction, which, I mean, we'll take it, you know, 100% we'll take that. You and I do the you know, did you know or cop myth, and just in talking about this, I do have a one I'm not sure about. I said desk duty, you said administrative leave. What does that look like for an officer? What are they actually doing when that's happening?
Well, right now they're going through interviews and a debrief. And then after that, they may come to the station and do administrative duties at the station. It can mean a bunch of things. We could get into that, but it's just a lot of different things that they could be doing. But that's just standard procedure while the investigation's going on.
Oh, sure. I knew in my head I perceived it as doing, you know, paperwork and other kinds of things inside the station. But the way it suddenly occurred to me that maybe they're actually not in the station. And I'm assuming that under more traumatic circumstances, or if they need the leave for whatever reason, that's accommodated to them. Just that the standard is that they're going to be working in some capacity.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else about, I know FDLE is taking over, so I know you're kind of limited on all the various things that you might be able to say, but anything else about this case, you know, motives, background, who this person was, obviously, people ask questions like, well, was he trying to get killed, or who knows? But anything else about this that we know at this point?
No, we don't. And I'm sure FDLE will get to the bottom of it. Again, we don't know what was going through his mind, what his personal situation was. I don't have any of that information at this point.
All right. Very good, man. All right, I appreciate that. Hang on for just a second. We're talking to Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer of the Pensacola Police Department. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still working that accident on West 9 Mile Road and Pine Forest Road. Again, it's off to the side, but I'm seeing some delays on 9 Mile. Also, I-10 eastbound, right around the Highway 29, seeing a five-minute delay. And Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing an 18-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. John, back to Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer at the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as I recall, a city council meeting, I think is where this had been announced, they were talking about there being some kind of a high police presence at the Baptist Legacy Campus. I thought it was supposed to be today, where they were going to be basically going in and clearing the building to make sure that it's safe for the ECUA workers to reactivate the water supply to get the fire suppression system going so that while demolition is happening, if God forbid there's a fire, they can take care of it. Because there's been vandalism, there's been, you know, criminal activity. You and I have talked many times about people going in over the fence line while it has been closed. But were you able to find out if that's going on today or know anything about that?
Yeah, it is. Our SWAT team is going to be there. It will be an exercise, a clearing building exercise. But on the other hand, it'll be real as well as far as making sure that there's nobody in there living there or camping there before this demolition begins.
Okay, so it's a combination actually clearing a building that we want to make sure is safe for the ECUA and the demolition workers. But also, hey, while we're here, you know, this is a really good opportunity to use an interesting structure and do an active shooter training drill at the same time. So if people see a lot of police in that area, that's a planned thing. Is that the main takeaway?
Yeah, that's it. While, you know, while it's abandoned, it's still a former hospital, and it's going to be great training as far as, like you said, a possible active shooter or how to clear multiple floors quickly. That's what they're going to be doing.
Do you happen to know a time? Do you happen to know when that's going to be taking place?
I don't.
Okay.
I can get back with you on that.
Okay, great. One of the other big stories, of course, a terrible story. We have this, and you and I talked about this last week, that this two people were killed when a driver went across the center line on scenic highway a couple of weeks ago on a Friday. Of course, their person had been talked to, essentially, at a traffic stop over on the west side. That was the sheriff's office and county EMS, not you guys. So I know you're not responsible for that, but you've made an arrest now in that case, right? Or an arrest has been made, I should say.
Yeah, and folks are wondering what took so long. And what it is we drew blood when he was taken to the hospital, and it takes time for that blood test to come back. And when it did, it showed that he had excessive amounts of medication in his system and should not have been driving. So he was arrested on a warrant in Spring Hill. He's being held in the county jail there awaiting extradition back here.
Are you able to say what kind of medication? Are we talking illegal drugs, prescription drugs? In the sense that we'd be able to know what the nature of the impairment is, but it wasn't alcohol. That's the main thing, right? Not alcohol?
Right. It was not alcohol, and I don't know the specific narcotic.
Okay. But in any case, in your judgment, this was a violation. This is why the two manslaughter charges have been issued for driving under the influence, because the blood test shows the narcotics are at a high enough level where it would have impaired him to the point where he should not have been driving.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Very good. Anything else that's going on? I mean, not that that's not plenty. I had wanted to ask you, I may periodically check in with you about this. First of all, the parade went off without a hitch, basically, right? I didn't see anything happen, but you tell me the parade was fine on Saturday. Parades.
Well, there was a little hitch, and people did exactly what we asked them to do. When we say, if you see something, say something. There was the parade Friday night took off about 10 minutes late because there was a backpack that was abandoned near Jefferson Street. So we were made aware of that. We have ATF on the scene for these parades. They cut it open, determined that there was no problem with that bag, and then the parade got started 10 minutes after that. So besides that, we had two great days of uneventful on the crime side issues, but we had a great parade both nights.
And a good multi-agency cooperation event with the kind of the mobile command center was at the PPD headquarters. No, where was it located?
That was at City Hall.
At City Hall, okay. Where everybody's working together to keep their eyes on everything at the same time, which is, I mean, that's all good stuff. But the other one I wanted to check in with you about is, you know, we're, gosh, now pushing, I think, 7 or 8 months of, you know, open carry being legal. Has this caused an issue in Pensacola? Have you guys had any confrontations, any problems, any even as it very? I'll be honest, I don't think I have seen a single person carrying a gun around town since this happened. Now, John tells me that it, basically every single person in Santa Rosa County is open carrying right now. so it's a matter of which side of the water you live on, I guess. But has this been an issue at all?
No, we haven't had any issues with that at all.
I will take the win. All right, our did you know or our are you aware or cop myth, however you want to call it, when it comes to radio conversations, we all know the kind of classic, sort of hilarious example from the movie Airplane.
Flight 209er, clear for vector 324.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Roger, roger. What's our vector, Victor?
How accurate is any of that for radio chatter for you guys?
It's pretty close, and we quote that line to each other all the time. I think cops across the country do that. That was a great scene. But what they're talking about is what I'm about to talk about is the word Roger. And a lot of people, the misconception is that it's an acronym for received order given expect results. That's simply not true. That's not what happened. It actually is for the word R back when you had Morse code. That it was for R. And this back in the 1940s, the U.S. Joint Army Navy phonetic alphabet to represent the letter R, which stood for received in voice radio communications. And it was used by pilots and soldiers to confirm that a message was received and understood, but not necessarily that they were going to go through with that order, which would have been Wilco. So in 1956, the phonetic alphabet changed from Roger for the letter R to Romeo, which is what we currently use today. Police, military, they use that. So that's how the Roger came to be. We still use it. Most officers, civilian officers, use the code 10-4 instead of Roger, but you still have some, especially former military, that use the word Roger when they are saying yes or 10-4.
Okay, so when somebody says Roger Wilco, they're saying, I hear it and I will obey it or I will execute it. Instead of if they just say Roger, it's kind of a, I mean, I won't say passive aggressive, but, you know, like, maybe I will, maybe I won't. I didn't say so, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much right. Roger Wilco is totally different, but we don't use that in the police department. We use Roger every once in a while, but the Wilco is you probably ought to do it anyway. Whether you Wilco or not, you probably ought to go through with what they told you to do.
Of course. So really the dream scenario would be if you ever hired an officer whose name was Roger Tackleberry.
Yeah. Or if his last name was Over, which I work for a captain over in Kentucky, so yeah.
One more time, I love the reactions I get from Mike Wood. Is my very favorite thing about this job.
Roger that.
Mike Wood, he is the public information officer and my foil sometimes for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, I appreciate you, sir. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, sir.
All right. 7923. I couldn't resist. Roger Tackleberry.
No, but it was good,
though.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Roger, roger.
Roger, roger. All right. What was I going to tell you about? I don't know. We'll be back in a minute. How about that?
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip during the Subaru A Lot to Love event with a new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther, and combined with Subaru's capable standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road. They're no match for the new Subaru hybrids. Get your Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid or the Subaru Forester Hybrid during the Subaru A Lot to Love event. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Driving ranges based on EPA estimated combined fuel economy and a full tank of fuel. Actual mileage and range may vary.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number? Where customer service is a chatbot? And hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few if any fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit PennAir.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
Do you have questions regarding your plants and landscaping? If so, the Garden Line is for you. I am Mike Wiggins, and every Tuesday morning at 9, we are here for you on News Radio 92.3 to answer your questions. Seasonal changes call for different activities in your lawn and garden, so tune in and text or call with your questions on the Garden Line on Tuesdays at 9 and an encore each Saturday at the same time.
The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Tuesdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
President Trump will deliver the State of the Union address Tuesday night. Hear it live on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:55 on News Radio 92.3, where there really is only one way to rock. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Florida West. They focus on attracting and expanding businesses that create jobs, increase wages, and strengthen Escambia County's economy. Let's see here. We just got a new accident that popped up on Broad Street and Highway 29. Not seeing any delays associated with that. I just wanted you to be aware. But Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, still experiencing about a 15-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You know, I talk about Christina Leavenworth a lot, and it's because I really believe in her. I've known her a long time. She's fantastic. The results do kind of speak for themselves. I mean, you know, they were selling she and her team at Leavenworth Realty were selling over 200 homes during the peak of the market when everybody was selling a home easily. Then the market got harder, and they sold fewer homes. I mean, that's normal. They went from well over 200 to 175 and then 165. And then last year, in an equally difficult market, they're back up 30% to 209 homes sold last year. So that's four a week on average, which is amazing. But you might think, well, I mean, she probably just talks people into lowering their prices. No. In fact, sometimes to get a house sold, you've got to raise the price. And she was telling me she had one case. This is kind of crazy. There was a home, I think it was in Navarre, as she was telling me, but she said the home was $499, and the agent who had had it before, and this happens a lot, she takes over listings from other agents, even sometimes more than one. People don't get their house sold, which was amazing to me. But the agent said, you cannot get more than $499 for this house. So she looked at it, and she said, I think we can. She priced it at $625, and she sold it in 10 days for cash. You say, well, how is that possible? I don't know. I'm not a real estate agent. She is. I mean, I can kind of understand, you know, that a person who's looking in a certain range, maybe they don't look at a house because it's priced too low, and they think it's not worth their attention. And if you undervalue a thing, then people don't pay attention to it too, right? That's an issue. But the point is, it's not just lowering the price. It's knowing the right price and how to stage and how to show and how to follow up and all the different things that she and her team at Leavenworth Realty do so effectively. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Blizzard conditions in California's remote Sierra Nevada backcountry are hindering the recovery of eight skiers that were buried in an avalanche of snow. The avalanche earlier this week near Lake Tahoe is now the deadliest in recorded history in California. Six members of the ski team survived. Another skier remains missing. President Trump is in Georgia today. He'll be trying to sell a positive message about the economy. He's expected to visit a steel distributor and deliver remarks on the cost of living. He has a three-day tour planned with stops in Rome, Gainesville, and Dalton. And Team USA now has 24 medals, including 7 gold from the Winter Games, which are underway in Italy. In yesterday's action, Jake Cantor took the bronze medal in the men's snowboarding slopestyle final. The men's cross-country skiing team captured silver after finishing second in the free final. And Michaela Schifrin won the gold medal in women's slalom.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. Pensacon, we have Pensacon coming up tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday. Obviously, huge event here in the area. It grows every year. It's every year. It's fantastic. I have a couple of weekend passes for you to win if you're a caller number five right now. 437-1620, 437-1620. Call, win, go, dress up. Don't dress up in a cosplay. Don't cosplay. Do whatever you want to do. John got excited about dressing up. He's going to go in a suit.
What?
Dressing up. You're going to dress up in a
suit? I was wondering if you were going to wear your Batman outfit.
No, not outside.
Well, okay. Fine.
No, I am not a. I have no negative opinion about it. I just don't do cosplaying, you know. So that's fine. I know when I used to take the kids to Pensacon when they were young enough, they'd go and they'd dress up as zombie hunters or whatever and have a good time about it. So it's just a great time. And you know, Christopher Lambert is going to be there, Highlander, or my preference is for when he was the name of the movie was Tarzan. It was a great movie.
Local news.